Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Damn.
That's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God,
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap, he just fell into a backup plan. So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
All right. Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is today? Today's Thursday, that's right. Today's Thursday, May the 4th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. You know what? I just forgot something. I'm going to play the song for about 30 seconds. I got to unlock the door, folks. I'll be right back. Just 1 second. I'll be right back.
To do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel it, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down. We hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did. I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. I am back. Welcome, everybody. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Thursday, May the 4th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon, a little after 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brother, today, my sister, we want to continue with part two of what we left off yesterday, talking about the principle of faith or the principle of desire fulfilled. I used the word faith a lot yesterday, and I really didn't want to use that word faith. However, it's not a bad word. I should be using the word desire, the word destiny, and the word diakonia. Those are better words for what we are talking about today. So we want to continue. We was talking about the five E's. And those five E's are error, explanation, expansion, evidence, and exhilaration. So we were talking about this idea that says, we need to resurrect your state, your mental disposition. And the way to resurrect your mental disposition is for you to maintain a desire fulfilled. So if you are a life path number 8 or life path number 9, even if you are a 7, this message is specifically for you. Today's message is for people that I call pattern makers. pattern makers have the ability to create patterns in their head and manifest those patterns in their life. Those patterns have the potential to change paradigms. So people who have the life path number 8, the life path number 9, are the soul urge, because we're talking about fulfilling your soul's urge. So if you have the life path or the soul path number 8 or 9, this message is specifically for you. Please pay very close attention to today's message. Now, we left off talking about error, how the error that we are making is that we have a soul urge, a desire, a destiny, a dear Kinnear that's not ours. That is the only reason why it's not fulfilled. The only reason that your desires is not fulfilled is that your desire is not yours. Your desire is what you know you can achieve. Your desire is not what you know that you want. Let me say that again. This is very, 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 very important. You have a goal, but you know that it's easy for you to achieve that goal. You have a goal that stretches you, that requires you to step outside of your faith. It's easy to achieve a known goal. It doesn't require any hope. So it's very, very important to understand that hope that is seen is not hope. A desire that is seen is not desire. So the problem is you have a desire that is seen. Therefore, that is not a desire. Therefore, you cannot fulfill it. Therefore, you are not as wealthy as you can be. You're not as healthy as you can be. You're not as wise as you can be. And your relationships are not as good as they can be. They're good. Everything is great. Your life is off the chisel, faux chisel. But it could be a toe-curling life. But instead, you got a good life. When the Father wants you to have the best life. So if you have the life path number 7, the life path number 8, even the life path number 9, your brain works in patterns. My brain doesn't work in patterns. All I get is an ideal. I don't have the pattern by which to go. I don't have the process or the procedure by which to fulfill the desire. So the error in my destiny or my desire is I cannot resurrect my life. Your life can be resurrected. So the way that you resurrect your mental state is through using your imagination or your imaginary thoughts repeated over time becomes patterns. So thoughts turn into patterns, patterns turn into power. So people who have this ability, people that are 7s, even people that are 11s, people that are 8s, people that have 9s, anywhere in their 4 major numbers, if you have those numbers anywhere, thankfully I have that number 9 in there. That gives me the ability to take my creative power and turn it into a pattern, because patterns give me power. So your imagination is your thoughts. Now I gotta drop a nugget in your lap that is very, very dangerous. That nugget is that God is your imagination. That nugget is that Christ is your imagination. That nugget is that the scripture says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That means your imagination. So all imagination, the word imagination and the word Christ are synonymous, are the same. The word imagination and the word consciousness is the same. The word imagination and the word perception is the same. The word imagination and the word belief is the same. So your imagination, if you could just understand that one concept, if you have this pattern-making power, if you are a pattern maker, if you are number 7 in your soul urge or your life path anywhere, if you're number 8 anywhere, if you're number 9 anywhere, you have the potential to create and turn your purpose into a principle, and that principle into a process, and that process into a procedure, and that procedure into a pattern, and that pattern into a product, and that product into a profit, and that profit into prosperity, and that prosperity into peace. You have that potential. That is the science behind living your life from the mental state of a fulfilled desire. not a desire that is out there, a desire that is already fulfilled. So can you live as if your desire is already fulfilled? How do you fulfill your desire? Be your desire. Don't try to go get a good relationship. Be a person that's in a good relationship. Don't try to go get some money. Be a person who has money. Don't try to go get healthy. Be the person that is healthy. Don't try to go get some knowledge and some wisdom. Be the person that has knowledge and wisdom. See, that is the error of the destiny. The error of your diakonia, the error of your desire is that you have not resurrected your pattern. You have to resurrect it. It's dead. We have to lay hands on your life, and we have to resurrect your life today. How do we resurrect your life? We resurrect your life by thinking as if. That's the definition of the word faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So without a resurrected mindset, the resurrected mindset means that Christ, which is your imagination, has arisen above your reality. Now, your reality says no money. But what does the resurrected mindset say? See, your mindset is dead. You got to resurrect it. A resurrected mindset is a fulfilled desire. Are you living your life as if your desire is already fulfilled? Let me pause for the calls so you can ponder the significance of that statement. Are you living your life as if your desire, as if your destiny, as if your dream, as if your diakonia has already been fulfilled? Because according to the Helios Biblios that I read, it says that God has given, has is past tense, everything that we need for life and godliness. Therefore, what you think is lost is actually gained. Stress. See, the longer you hold on to stress, the heavier it gets. Now, let me ask you a question. If I give you a 5-pound weight and I tell you to stretch your hand out and to hold that 5-pound weight, how long can you hold it? You can probably hold it for some time. But the longer you hold a 5-pound weight, the heavier it gets. Heavenly Father, in the name that is above every name, that at that name, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Touch the minds of your people, Father, that they may hear what thus says the Rhema word of God. If I put a problem in your hand right now today, it's a small problem. But the longer you hold on to the problem, the heavier the problem gets. That is the only reason I don't do fear. I don't do stress. I don't give a flying beep about problems. I don't care about my damn bills. Because the longer you hold the bill, the heavier the bill gets. You are resurrecting the wrong disposition. If you are a 7, if you are an 8, you have developed a pattern or a paradigm that is negative. You have a negative habit pattern instead of a positive habit pattern because you got a small problem that you want to solve and you're holding it. And just like if I give you my cell phone and I tell you to stretch your arm out and hold that cell phone, I can pick up my cell phone right now. I can extend my left hand and I can hold this cell phone for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes, an hour. I can hold my cell phone. But the longer I hold my cell phone in my hand, the heavier that insignificant cell phone that only weighs a couple of ounces. But after an hour, them few ounces are freaking heavy, brother. Them ounces are heavy, sister. So you got some heavy shiznits in your life because let me rephrase that. Let me calm down. Because I'm holding on to shiznits that I need to freaking let go. There are some people in your life, let them suckers go. There's some problems in your life. Let it go. There's some thoughts in your brain. Let it go. Because that is the error of your destiny. It is limiting your ability to remove the emotional blocks, the limiting beliefs, and the negative habit pattern because you won't let it go. Let it go, please. The longer you hold on to it, the heavier it gets. Now, it starts off, but Brother Will, you don't understand, man. You know what? I'm going to make this work, man. So I'm going to hang on to it. And you keep hanging on to it. And the longer you hang on to that problem, something happened in the past, man. If it's in the past, you got two options. You freaking, if you don't let it go, you're recreating it. The longer you hold on to the past, the heavier the past gets. So I'm going to ask you the question today. I'm going to ask you one question today, brother. One question. What the hell is in your brain? What are you holding on to? Are you holding on some shizness that happened in the freaking past? That shizness, it gets heavier and heavier every time you freaking revisit it. And now it's running your life instead of you running it because you can't let it go. If you cannot let go of something, then you need to go and go back and be that something. If you can't let it go, shit, go back and keep doing it. You got a drinking problem, you struggling, you can't stop. Stop struggling, dog. Go drink. Whatever problem you got, if you can't beat that problem, then join it. Trust me. After a bit of time, you're going to get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you're going to let that problem go muy pronto. Stress. The longer you hold on to it, there is an error in your thinking. There's an error in your destiny. There's an error in your desire. You have a desire that's not yours. That's why you don't really want it. That's why you ain't going after it. The principle of fulfilled desire states emphatically. The Helios Biblia states emphatically. The word became flesh and dwelt. The Helios Biblia says among us. Look it up. Triple dare you. In the original text, it says, in us. So somebody took out I-N and they added A-M-O-N-G-S-T. So they said that the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. That is an incorrect translation. The original text that the word of God became flesh and dwelt in us, in your imagination. So are you living in your imagination as if your destiny, your dream, your desire, your dear Kenia is already, because according to the scripture, that's what the scripture says. The scripture says that Yahushua has done everything that he's going to do. He said it is finished. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, right? Him and the Father up there breaking bread. They've done everything for you, bruh. All you got to do is flesh it out. They left you with the pattern. It's called your imagination. But you're using your pattern to produce cisterns that can't hold water. That's what it says in Jeremiah 31. What is the science behind fulfilling your dreams? How do you fulfill your dreams? How do you fulfill your desire? How do you fulfill your destiny? How do you fulfill your destiny? Put it in your brain and act like you're already there. Period. Case closed. Drop the mic. Exit stage left. So you're doing all this other shizness, and that's a waste of time. That stuff gets heavy over time. See, my life is easy. All I do is I wake up every morning and I say to myself, this is who I am. And my subconscious and my unconscious brain says, no, you're not, Negro. But my brain doesn't live in reality. I don't live in reality. I'm a self-deluded individual, and I'm proud of it. I live in a freaking dream world. I don't live in reality. Now, you go and you tell the wrong person that, they're gonna put you on some medication, bro. They're gonna lay hands on you. They're gonna slap some oil upside your head, and they're gonna try to cast out some demons. Because they don't understand the universe. Now, because I read it. I read it in the Constitution. And I went and I talked to the writer, the author of the Constitution. And the author of the Constitution states in Hebrews chapter 11, subchapter 2, of chapter 3, according to the constitution of the universe, it says that the world was framed by the word, and what is visible was created by what is invisible. That's what my constitution says in chapter Hebo, subchapter 1, section 2. That's what it says in Hebrews 11, 1, 2, and 3. So that is the science behind how to fulfill my desire, how to fulfill my destiny, and how to fulfill my dreams. That is the explanation that leads to the expansion that breaks down number 4. Let's jump in, the evidence. Now, I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. I got evidence. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. I want to ask you, do you got evidence? Your evidence is your internal dialogue. Father, touch the minds of your people, that the chills that I'm feeling in my body, that they feel the same chills. Father, anoint the ears of your listeners. If you do not have an internal dialogue that makes you want to punch a hole in somebody's face when they walk up to you and tell you that what you are trying to do can't not be done. If you don't have that disposition, and the only thing that holds you back from destroying people's noses is the fact that you are a child of the King, and you don't resort to such lower level activities, because in your brain you are already there. See, in my brain, if you came into my brain, you would be scared shiznits. In my brain, it's a fucking 3-ring circus going on up in there. My wife will tell you. My children will tell you. Anybody that knows me, that hung out with me for more than 5 minutes, they walk away. They say that, I heard this in a movie. I can't remember that movie it was in. It said that there's a fine line between genius and insanity. Brother, I tiptoed that line every day. You hear me, Brother Jay? Jay Money? You hear what I'm saying? Brother, you got to walk the line between insanity and genius. It's a fine line, because I talk like a dude that is already a multimillionaire. I walk like one. I talk like one. When I drive my car, I drive my car like I'm still a police officer. My wife does not understand. She hates when I drive. In my brain, I'm still a cop. When I get stopped by a cop, I speak cop-ese. So when a cop pulls me up, I say, yo, what's up, officer? How's your day going, bro? And they are amazed, because when a cop gets behind me, I speed up. I don't slow down. I have that I wish a Negro would mentality. I hope the cops pull me over. Because the first thing out of my mouth is to do, what are you pulling me over for? He better have a good one. Because I'm getting his badge number and I'm calling the chief. Why? I used to be a cop. There is no fear, bruh. Why? Because I got a pattern. I got a way that I think. And all I'm telling you is that if you do not think as if you are already a cop, already a millionaire, already a all-natural vegan bodybuilder, already a seminary graduate, already in a toe-curling relationship. If you don't think like that, you can't walk like that, you can't talk like that, and you can't manifest that. So the evidence, when somebody said to me, hey, dog, brother, I need you to give me some evidence, homie. I said, well, bro, unless you can get in my head, I ain't got no evidence for you. Because all of my evidence, you can't see. Because I know that the things that are made that you can see are made from things that you can't see. So I want to ask you one question today. What's going on in your head that I can't see? So you mean to tell me, you joined the Clarinomics Temple Building Program, paid me $5,000, and in your head, you thinking, I don't know if this program is going to work. What? Man, you just pissed away $5,000. You could have donated it to charity, gave it to a homeless man down the street. You bring about what you think about. It has nothing to do with the amount of money. It has nothing to do with the program. Do you know I can give you a book with blank pages on it, and it'll transform your life? All you got to do is expect it to transform your life. This is scientifically proven. Contrary to popular belief, it's called the placebo effect. Everybody's heard of it. I give you a sugar pill. You go home, you take that sugar pill. You think that that sugar pill is the real deal, holy field. And you take that sugar pill, and you are instantly healed. Bye, y'all. And you go around, you telling everybody, man, this pill just healed me. And then the doctors tell you, well, that was a placebo. What? Well, how did I get healed? Your belief healed you. Now, let me be crystal clear. Evidence of your destiny. We've already broke down the error of your destiny, your dream, your dear Kinnear. We broke down the explanation of your dream, your dear Kinnear, your destiny. We broke down the expansion, how to expand it yesterday. Today, we're talking about the evidence. What is the evidence of your destiny? What is the evidence of your dear Kinnear? What is the evidence of your desire? What is the evidence? If I walk up to you right now and I say, Doc, I need some evidence that you are living in the end times. What is living in the end times? Living in the end times means I'm living in the end game. What's the end game? The goal. I'm living mentally in the goal, but I'm attached physically to the role. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. I'm living in the end time of my goal, but I'm attached physically to the reality of my role. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. That means every day I get up, I have a resurrected mindset. That means that my mind is glued. That means that my mental disposition right now, I don't think like a poor man. Everybody think that I got all this money. Because I walk like I got money. I talk like I got money. I act like I got money. I eat like I got money. I sleep like I got money. I defecate like I got money. Everything I do is a man who got money. That's why I got money. So I'm going to ask you the question, brother. I'm going to ask you the question, sister. Fear, unconsciousness, uneasiness. It is manifesting in your body because it is maintained in your mentality. Your imaginary thoughts, repeated over time, become facts in your life. Your imagination, your inner dialogue, the thoughts that you maintain in your brain, becomes the evidence of the destiny in your life. So when you ask me, Brother Will, where's the evidence that you are wealthy? Where's the evidence that you are healthy? Where's the evidence that you are wise? Where's the evidence that you have a great relationship? I say, enter thee into my brain. And you come into my brain, and we sit down, and you look around at the furniture. You look around at the decor. You look at the color scheme, and you be like, damn. Brother Will, I didn't know you had it going on like that, bruh. Because in my desire, in my dream, in my destiny, in my dear Kinnear, I am living in the end. I am living in the goal. I am living in the desire being already fulfilled. So what are you imaging right now? What are you imagining right now? What is the imagination? Because your imagination married with emotion creates your reality. Now, it is scientifically proven that the imagination with extreme emotion is more powerful than reality. Let me say that again. Father, touch the minds of your people. I can scare you and your heart will stop. You have a heart attack. Your imagination is more powerful than if you get hit by an 18-wheeler. I could push you off into the front of the 18-wheeler and you could physically get hit by one. Or I could create a scenario where you imagine that you get hit by one and you would die faster by the imaginary, scientifically proven. Now, I read the book again You're not sick, you're thirsty. This dude, again, don't believe me, please. Go to Google, type in, you're not sick, you're thirsty. Go to the YouTube video. I think there's a video still floating around out there. The dude is dead. I mean, it's an old book dude, dead now. Now, scientifically proven, this is what this dude did. He was in prison. And in prison, he cured every inmate of every disease known to man. He cured them with water. He told them, you're not sick, you're thirsty. Now go to YouTube and type in the video, you're not sick, you're thirsty, and watch the video if you're for real. But if you're playing church, then, you know, hey, continue to play church. But if you for real, I'm going to show you the power of your imagination. I don't know if you know where I live. Because, see, I have already done what you thinking. I've already brought $1 million worth of real estate using this technique. I've already leased out. Me and my wife, we leased and started a business with our own, with the money, with our own, no investors. Opened up a coffee shop, the first black-owned coffee shop. My wife was all in the newspaper. She was the first black female military veteran to open up a business and especially a bookstore. Negroes don't read. We did that with our imagination. I went down to the car. The car I got in my driveway right now. I had no job, had no credit, and I had no money, and I bought a brand new car with my imagination. The house I'm sitting in right now, big, beautiful house on the northwest side of San Antonio. I got in this house. I called the dude like every other house. How much money you got? I ain't got no money. But what I got is an imagination. So with everything that you can do with your money, I can do with my brain. And you can do the same thing if you understand the exhilaration, the last point of your destiny. Now, this is not for new believers. If you've been saved for 2 weeks, don't listen to what I'm about to say. You can disconnect now. Because otherwise, this is going to mess up your salvation. What is the exhilaration of your destiny, brother? The exhilaration of your destiny, sister. We are talking about resurrecting the dead. Because right now, you are spiritually dead. The same way Yahushua resurrected Lazarus, we're going to resurrect your wealth. We're going to resurrect your health. We're going to resurrect, if I can say the word. We're going to cause a erection. I can say that word. We're going to make you hard, bruh. We're going to make you hard, sis. Pardon the French. Because that's the way the universe works. The universe only responds to a erection. Or what the church calls a resurrection. So how do you get erect? Well, last time I checked, when I was, you know, with me and my wife, knocked the boots, put it, derated place, it's called stimulation. Now, the word exhilaration means the exhilarate. It means exhilarated, X-rated, bruh. That's how I get stimulated. Something X-rated got to take place. Now, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying, because, again, this is not for new Cretans. The word exhilaration comes from the word exhilarate. The word exhilarate means to enliven. It means to invigorate. It means to stimulate, Father, touch the minds of your people. So you got a dream, and your dream is that you want to shovel horse manure for a living. Now, I'm going to ask a question because, again, hey, I'm just a country boy from deep South Texas, homie. I'm right down out that wall of Texas, right outside of Houston, down there with them good old boys. See, where we from down yonder? You know what I'm saying? If your toes ain't curled, bruh, You mean to tell me you're doing something and it don't curl your toes? You ain't enlivened? Now, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. Because there's a lot of people who during our one-on-ones or during my counseling sessions or when I talk to people, they telling me their dream and they say, like, yeah, doctor, oh, man, you know, I want to be I want to be a zoologist, doc. I think about going to school, man, and take a few classes, and I want to go out. Oh, man, I need some coffee, doc. But, you know, yeah, oh, what did I say? Oh, yeah, my dream. Yeah, that's right. I want to go and study the zebra over in Zimbabwe, doc. Yeah, man, you know, well, I just think that's interesting. The zebras, the way they run around. Come on, man. You barely alive. You talking about your dream. You talking about your destiny. And you ain't yelling. Y'all wondering why do I yell and scream on these blog talk shows? I wish y'all could see me, man. I'm about to flip this freaking desk right now. And I ain't even had no coffee. I feel like every time I do a show, I got to go to the gym. I got to go run. I'm like Forrest Gump. I feel like running because I'm freaking exhilarated, bro. I'm enlivened. I'm invigorated. I'm stimulated. So you mean to tell me you got a dream and that dream doesn't animate you? Do you know the word exhilarate means in spiritas? God. In it, bruh. So if God ain't in it, you can't win it. That's why you're not successful. Or more. Let me rephrase that. Well, let me talk about myself. Brother Willie, that's why you ain't more successful, bruh. You're doing business that doesn't make you cheerful, doesn't make you merry, it doesn't make you gladden, it doesn't make you cheerful. The word exhilarate means thoroughly, that means throughout your whole body, you are full of glee. You are cheerful. Now, again, since I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, the word cheerful means full of cheer. That means full of good spirits. Oh, come on, brother. So you mean to tell me, why do they call wine and alcohol spirits? So you got a desire. That desire is gonna fill you with spirits. You got the wrong desire, homie. You got the wrong spirits. The word cheerful gives us the word exhilarate, gives us the word exhilarating. So therefore, what is the exhilaration of your destiny? That means the ruling disposition. That means spirit. So let me ask the question again. Who is sitting in the seat of your soul, driving your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your intellect? Who, brother? It damn sure ain't you. Because if the dream you got was your dream, man, you would have read every book I've already published. You would be logged on this blog talk show before I logged on. See, I like when people tell me what they want, and then I watch them and they do something the opposite. Hold on, I thought you said that you wanted to be a mechanic. Yeah, that was yesterday, dog. Today, you know, I want to be a freaking, you know, I want to go to culinary arts. Now, why am I saying this? Do y'all know how many times I did? I had 63 jobs, man. 60 freaking three. I stopped counting. When I think about it, I feel like I want to hurl. They don't make them no more stupider than I was. There's not a soul alive that was more dense than me. So when you talk about somebody that was resurrected from the dead, dude, do that. I was freaking dead. Ran over, chopped up into little pieces, and God resurrected me. So if he can do it for me, oh, man, I ain't met nobody yet. I haven't met nobody that I can't help. People coming to me with their problems, I'm like, dude, they be crying. And I try not to, you know, I don't want to laugh at people's face. So I'll be like, hold on, let me get this right. So you're telling me that you are, you know, depressed, suicidal, because on your way to work this morning, You had a flat tire, and you was late. First time you was late to your job in 5 years. And you just like, man, whew, you don't know if you can handle it. Now, I'm listening intently. Doc, what should I do, bro? I was late, man. Had a flat tire, Doc. You understand, Doc? I'm trying to keep a straight face. Because I'm like, okay, bro. I think he just should change, call, let the supervisor know, hey, I had a flat tire. Hey, shoot a video. If they need some evidence or some proof, hey, change the flat tire. Hey, you got roadside service now. And in fact, if you text on your driver's license, on the back of your driver's license, free roadside service for all Texas residents. It's down in a very small print. I mean, I sold insurance, so I know that. So when people would ask me, hey, do you want to add on R&R, rental reimbursement and road tire assistance? I would tell the people that I really know, dude, don't add that onto your insurance policy because you get it for free. In the state of Texas, if you are licensed, and don't believe me, take out your driver's license and look on the back of your driver's license if you're a Texas resident. Roadside service is free, and everybody paying for it. Now, life is the same way. Everything that you're paying for, God gave it to you for free. But loosen far, and the government say you got to pay for water. Well, when I grew up, my grandmother and them, they just dug a hole out there in the well, and they started pumping, and water came up. They ain't pay nobody. They had their own electricity. They had generators. They had kerosene lamps all throughout the house. We didn't have no running water. We had no electricity. We had no indoor plumbing. All this stuff everybody else got. Yeah, I wasn't raised like that. I came from dirt poor, homie. So when you come to me and you want me to get exhilarated because of your adversity, forgive me for my lack of panic. Because see, I don't do fear. People try to come to me, hey, Doc, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Number one, we're going to look at the error in your thinking. Number two, we're going to break down, and I need to make sure that you can explain, there has to be an explanation of your destiny. Number three, we need to expand the belief. That means the internal dialogue. We need more internal dialogue and less external demonstration. Number four, we need evidence. I need you to walk me through what you see, what you're telling yourself inside your head. Not this fake stuff. See, people can talk very good because they're trying to convince you and them of their dream. See, what I'm doing, as you can tell, and my wife will tell you, anybody who knows me, my children would damn sure tell you, I've been doing this for, since I came out the womb, basically. What have I been doing? I have been for the underdog. Now, I'll jump in a fight. I won't really defend myself or speak up for myself, but if you disrespecting somebody that's less fortunate, yeah, then you gotta fight me, bro. Now you can pick on me, but don't be picking on no helpless lady. Don't be picking on no widows and orphans. Cause see, I read in the Hebrews Biblios, it says this is the truth. Now, triple dare anybody look it up. Triple dare you. What is the real gospel according to the Bible? According to the Bible. This is the true gospel, as the Bible says. The Bible says that the true gospel is to look after the orphans and widows. That's the true gospel. So the true gospel is that we're supposed to take care of, orphans and widows. Take care of orphans and widows. What? So all of this other shiznit everybody's doing? You mean to tell me that that's not what we're supposed to be doing? That's not how you put a spell. That's not the good spell. Brother, well, I don't believe that, dog. Okay, let's go to James chapter 1, verse 26. James chapter 1, verse 26 in the King Jimmy. James chapter 1, verse 26, King James. If any man among you seems to be religious, and he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. See, you talking and you telling me with your tongue, but your internal dialogue is zero. That's what I mean by, again, faith fulfilled. See, all of my talking goes on in my head. That's why everything I'm saying right now is about 10%, maybe, on a good day, of what's going on in my head. If anybody would come into my brain, y'all would have me probably declared insane. Y'all would have me committed. Just like I told you guys, if y'all really believe what I believe, y'all wouldn't be my friends. See, like, people post a lot. Like, I read all these different Facebook posts, and people talk about the end times, or people talk about the truth. People talk about King Anu, Inki, and Enel. They talk about the graves. They talk about the this, that, and the other, and people explaining history. And that's all truth, but that's all a part of history. And then everybody get their panties in the water because they read something that startles their belief system. That is true, but it is a truth. It is just one piece of a multifaceted. So you gotta go. It's a puzzle. Now, if you just give me one piece of puzzle, I can't really make it out. If you give me five pieces, if I got a 300 piece puzzle, you give me five pieces, and they're each one of the corners. I don't know what the hell that puzzle is going to be. Now, if it's a 300-piece puzzle and you give me 100 pieces of that puzzle, I may be able to figure it out, especially if those 100 pieces are the edges. But if you give me 100 pieces of a 300-piece puzzle, now let's say the truth is 300 pieces. Christianity is 50 pieces. Islam is 50 pieces. Buddhism, 50 pieces. Hinduism, Sufism, Perennialism, Satanism, Wicca, you know, astrotheology. Every belief system is a piece of the puzzle. Your job is to get all the pieces of the puzzle, put them together first before you want to stab me in the chest because I don't have the same piece of the puzzle that you do. Why you want to strap a bomb to your chest and blow me up and my family up? Because my piece of the puzzle is different from your piece of the puzzle. That's what's going on. So when people give me a piece of the puzzle, I just say, okay, thank you. I just add that to my piece. It's not an either or, brother. It's not Christianity or Islam or Buddhism. Or all of that crap, you put it all together. Put those pieces together, and guess what you'll have? The truth. But people discard. See, it's funny. People ask for the truth. I'm talking about desire fulfilled, which is the truth. You want your desire fulfilled. God sends you a piece of the puzzle that's opposite of the puzzle or the piece that you got, and you look at that piece of the puzzle, that don't go with this, and you throw it out. And God is just scratching his head like, this fool, he keep praying for money, and I'm sending him money. He keep throwing it out. What the? Now, remember, whatever you pray for, you get the opposite. Remember that. Whatever you pray for, you get the opposite. If you're praying for health, you're going to be sick. You're praying for money, you're going to be poor. You're praying for wisdom, you're going to be ignorant. You're praying for a good relationship, you're going to have a bad one. Because why? God said, remember, the universe operates on the principle of fulfilled desire. So according to God, he has already done exceedingly, abundantly, above anything that you can ask or think. Past tense, done, finished, kapis, kaput, done, wrap, drop mic, that's 6 days left. It's already done. So if I make my son a plate, and he comes into the house and say, Dad, I'm hungry. I want some food. I'm going to say, Kendrick, your plate's on the table, dog. I'm going to go back to watching TV. I ain't going to get up. I ain't going to go get the plate. I'm not going to bring it to him. Negro, I made the food already. You want me to freaking put it in your mouth too? That's what God is saying. You're going to God. Oh, God. God. Oh, God, please. I need the money. God's like, what is he talking about? Don't he know about it? What is he? Didn't he read where it says that the lilies in the fields, they don't neither sow nor reap, and I take care of them? How much more? Didn't he read that I've been young and now I'm old? I've never, ever, ever seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread, and he's praying, God, don't forsake me. Didn't he read that I will never leave you nor forsake you? So everything you're asking God for, he's already fulfilled it. So we live in a universe of fulfilled desire. You got desire? First thing, every time a desire comes to my brain, I just say, ha-ha, I got it already. And then I look around. Where's it at? This is all I do every day. I look That's why my whole ministry, everything is about Christ consciousness. What is consciousness? It's an imagination. What is imagination? Perception, the ability to see what's already there. That's how easy this is, man. Everybody's running around like chickens with their head cut off, and God is just like shaking his head like, look at this. Look at my people. Look at my people. They are stressed the hell out because they won't let go. Remember I said at the beginning of the show? Pick up your cell phone, dog. Hang it out. Put it out. Just hold it. Just hold it there. Give it about an hour. The longer you hold that cell phone in your hand and it's extended from your body, the heavier it gets. How about you just drop that sucker? Let that cell phone go, bruh. Let it go, sis. Let it go. That is the exhilaration of your destiny. The exhilaration of your destiny is the resurrection of your faith. And the way that you resurrect your faith is to realize that the Word became flesh. Now I'm the Word. Oh, man. What? I'm looking for God, and I am God. Now, I'm not saying that you are no big G. I'm saying exactly what it says in Psalms 82, verse 6. Please read it before you text me. Please. If there's any Reverend Dr. Bishop, they don't call me, man. Don't text me. Read Psalms 82, 6 for yourself. Then read John 10. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus said, did I not say that ye are gods? Jesus said it. Jesus said he's the firstborn of many brethren. Jesus said that the true destiny, Jesus said that all of creation is groaning and it is moaning because it is waiting for the sons of God. All of creation is waiting. So let me make sure you understand how this works. The five E's, error, explanation, expansion, evidence, and exhilaration. That is how you live in a resurrected state. Now, you should say this. I'm hoping the question is, Brother Will, everything you said is great, dog. But unfortunately, I ain't got no money. Unfortunately, Brother Will, I went to the doctor. Doctor gave me some bad news. Brother Will, man, I like what you're saying. Brother Will, I'm with you, brother. You understand, brother? Man, I'm with you, dog. But, dude, I don't know who God is. What is his name? Is it Jesus? Is it Muhammad? Is it Yeshua? Is it Yeshua? Is it yesterday? Tomorrow? Next week? Dude, I'm confused, bro, because I got all of these ancient texts and they seem to be saying contrary information. Brother, I've been married and my marriage is dead right now, Brother Will. And you telling me, man, that I'm supposed to wake up every morning, you know, like I'm shot out of a cannon. I'm going to be walking around in the broad daylight with a flashlight looking for my wife. That's what I do. I'm waiting for my wife to come home right now. I'm excited. Now, I didn't used to be. So what changed? Now, I'm a multimillionaire, and I checked my PayPal account. The same amount of money that I had yesterday, I got in that day. So why am I walking around feeling? Why do I feel like $1 million, bruh? Now, I still have not had or have this tooth removed. Now, I've been doing the coconut oil thing. And I didn't really think about it when I started doing it. It did regenerate my tooth, like it said it would do, along with the nerves. That's why I say you gotta be careful what you ask for, homie. So after gargling with coconut oil, strengthened my teeth, those dead teeth that had root canal and that got metal and all that stuff from back in the day, 30 years ago, them suckers coming back alive now. So I got an issue. I keep doing what I'm doing and suffer through the pain. Oh, I got to pull them out. That's what I'm saying about understanding what you are asking for. So the universe says this, plain and simple. The universe says you have to live as if your desire, your destiny, and your diakonia has already been fulfilled. Otherwise, God does not recognize you. That's what's going on right now. Right now, you're going to God in a state, in a mindset of need. God does not understand need. He don't got any. God, he only recognizes other gods. The Bible says, do you not know that ye are gods? So God says, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. What? In your head. You say, hold up, Brother Will. Time out, brother. Time out, brother. I love to talk to Christian folks, man. There's one white dude, man, he used to come to the coffee shop all the time. I love this brother. This brother texts me all the time, man. He's like, brother, well, I'm afraid you're going to go to hell and you're going to burn in the fire and brimstone, brother. Brother's concerned for my health, man. And I told this brother, same thing I'm going to tell you. God wishes to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can ask or think. However, God created this sandbox and left the building. Elvis has left the building. He's not here no more. God gave you everything that you need for life and godliness. Now, if you don't use it, it's up to you. Like I tell my children, I raise my children very well. I gave them everything that they need. Right now, my son, you know, going through blah, blah, blah. Now, my two daughters up in Houston got their own business up in Houston, up in Dallas. They blowing up. Or they blowed up. They doing big things. Now, I could run and go help them. My son who's going through right now, he was moving out. This just happened today. So some lady that they don't even know saw them and heard them talking and just walked up to them and said, you know, I heard y'all talking and y'all showed them some money. Y'all trying to find an apartment. My son was like, yeah, you know, me and my wife, blah, blah, blah. She's with his third, expecting his third child, my third grandbaby. The lady said, here you go, here's some money. Just gave him a bunch of money. Now, my son getting ready to move into an apartment. Now, my children hated me. Well, not hated. They didn't understand me. I posted on Facebook. There's a picture of me, my son, his wife, my grandbaby, and my daughter. My oldest daughter calls me, my daughter Sade, calls me all the time. She said, Dad, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dad. I love you. Thank you so much. My son, me and my son, BJ, we were never really that close. He had a disposition, and we talk about it now. You know what? I used to beat the snot out of BJ. I used to feel bad. You know what he told me yesterday or a couple of days ago? Dad, thank you. Because you punching me in the chest kept my ass out of prison. And I used to feel bad. I used to beat myself up. And I said, well, man, maybe I was too hard on him. But there was something in him that my spirit said, you need to get that out of him. Because he's going to run up on a cop. And he's going to have that disrespect for authority. And he's going to buck up to the wrong person. And they're going to punch him in his mouth if you don't. Now, I tell mothers this. I tell people this. I've raised 13 children. 13. And they're all successful. And what did I do? I followed my spirit. I did exactly what I'm telling you to do today. Now, what am I saying? I had the end goal. When I was raising my children, I said, I want them to be successful. So I raised them with the mindset of what it takes to be successful. I prepared, because my children used to always ask me, Dad, why are you preparing us for the ghetto? We were raised in a suburban Caucasian environment. I raised them for the hood. My daughter's up in Dallas in the hood. And they know how to mingle in the hood because I raised them. Even though they wasn't in the hood, I prepared them for the hood. Because my spirit said prepare them for the hood. Because that's the real world we live in. So I'm trying to expose and expand to you the real world. The physical world is not the real world, brother. The physical world is not the real world, sister. The real world is the dream world. And everybody tells me, you need to live in reality, brother. That's the only time I've heard that. I don't live in reality. I am self-deluded. I live in a freaking dream world. And all my dreams come true. Just the problem. Everybody else is just walking around and life is whooping they beep. See, life don't run me. I run it. So what does that mean? The principle of fulfilled desire is the fact that all imagination is Christ. That's just another word for that's because remember, Christ is consciousness. Christ is the office that you live in. Christ is a title. Jesus is his name. Christ is his title. So all things, according to Colossians, it says all things that exist was created by him. And all things were created for him, and all things were created by him. So what would it be like if your desire was fulfilled right now? Four desires. Please, please, humor me for one moment. Think when it comes to wealth. Put a figure in your brain. Let's say $100,000. Let's say $150,000. And there's a vehicle that you want to drive to take you to that $150,000. Put that vehicle in your brain. See, let's say health. Let's say you're 6 feet tall. I wish I was 6 feet tall. But let's say you're 6 feet tall and you want to weigh 200 pounds. You want to have a body fat of less than five. No, five, that's pretty rough. Let's say less than 10%. That's pretty good. Let's say you want to maintain a body fat of less than 10%. Let's say you know, blood pressure is 120 over 80. Let's say you want to be good blood pressure. Put that image, that mindset, that thought in your brain. Let's say you want to know and you want to understand ancient texts. You want to know whether King Anu, you want to know whether it's Marduk, you want to know whether it's Sabato or Yabato, you want to know whether it's the Demiurge, you want to know whether it's Samael, the blind god, you just want to know who is the big G. You want to know. You want some wisdom. Put that in your mind. Let's say you got a girlfriend, you got a boyfriend. Y'all been together for a while. You married. Relationship is good. But you ain't had your toes curled in a while. And you say, you know what? I want my toes curled, homie. Put that in your mind. You want to have a toe-curling relationship. So when you put that in your brain, in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship, and you say to yourself, what would my life be like if my desires was already fulfilled? And every morning you say that to yourself, and you take on the role, you put on, now remember, let's say you're Denzel Washington and you're playing the role of the dirty cop in Training Day. Now, when Denzel played that role, it was hard for me, but he played the role so good. I'm like, man, damn, maybe Denzel is a bad guy. I didn't see him like that until he played the role. So actors do what you got to do in real life. You have to play the role. You got to become the character of the person of the desire fulfilled. So your role is to be desire fulfilled. That's your character. So I need you to get the script, brother. I need you to get the script of a guy who is wealthy. That's your character. Today, you play the character. You play the role of a wealthy man. You play the role of a healthy man or a healthy woman. You play the role of a wise man or a wise woman. You play the role of a man or a woman in a great relationship. And I need you to own that role. I need you to go on stage. When I say light, camera, action, I'm going to need you to own it. I'm going to need you to be the character. I'm going to need you to play the role of the desire, of the destiny, of the dear Keneal fulfilled. I need you to do that. Can you do that for me, bro? Can you do that for me, sis? See, if you can do that, you attract what role or what character you play in your head. Now, this is the most dangerous statement I've ever made. This statement right here, number one, this statement is the most dangerous statement that I've been saying this for 20 years, I'm going to keep saying it for the next 20. The most dangerous thing is to put a desire in your head and believe it. Because if you put the wrong desire in your head, that shitness is going to show up in your life. Now, for me, it shows up. I do it on Monday. Bam, it shows up on Friday. I can't do it. I cannot. Because what happens, which happened? If I meet Susie Q on Facebook and I put a thought comes into my head that says, hey, Susie Q don't look too bad. Now, I got a wife. What happens if I see a car? Hey, that car don't look too bad. Now, I got a car. What if I'm driving through a neighborhood and I see a for sale sign on the house? And I say, man, that house don't look too bad. Now, I got a house. This happened, brother. This is I'm not making this up. I can bring my wife on here. She can tell you. That shizness showed up in my life. Quick. That's how this works. That's why I'm teaching this class, because I didn't read it in a book. The science behind fulfilling your desire and your destiny is for you to put in your brain, don't tell nobody, don't talk about it. The internal dialogue, you're telling yourself every day, I'm a wealthy man, I'm a wealthy man, I'm a wealthy man, I'm a wealthy man. Break down the details, write it down, put it on your board like I do. But at the end of the day, you walking and you talk, your internal dialogue is wealthy. Your internal dialogue is healthy. Your internal dialogue is wise. Your internal dialogue is great relationship. So I'm talking to people doing my one-on-one. They say to me, Doc, man, you know what? I don't feel it, man, but I don't know, man, what's going on. I was like, okay, really? So what are you saying, man? What do you feel like? What are you thinking? Well, you know what? I don't, you know, my girl, man, I can't trust her, bro. She done this and she done that. Also, really? So you think she's cheating? Yeah, dog, I think. Oh, okay. As a man, think it in his heart. So since you think she's cheating, guess what? You just made her cheat. Now, I tell women all this all the time, and they don't get it. It's unfortunate, but y'all women, y'all just don't get it. I don't care if your man is cheating in real life. You can make him stop cheating in the imaginary life. And if you want your man, that's how you control your man, by controlling yourself. Now, in real life, I don't care if you ain't got no money. In your imaginary life, you better have some money, because the imaginary life will overpower the real life. That's universal spiritual law. That's the science behind faith. Now, it's the craziest thing since sliced bread. If I had not tried it, and if it had not worked in my life, first of all, when I was 8, when I said, I want Sister Shields to stop beating me. I didn't know what I was doing. I just said that I got really, really angry, and I said some stuff, and then next thing I know, bam, my mama was dead. Then next thing I know, bam, they called me, and they said, where were you on the night of blah, blah, blah? Freaking the state troopers here in Texas, they have the Rangers. They called me and said, where was you at on the night of blankety blank? We heard you making statements that you wanted this person dead. And that person is dead. Like, I was in Japan. I was active duty military, homie. So my thoughts manifest in my life. That's why this is dangerous. What if I have some negative thoughts about somebody? That's why this is so dangerous. That's why you cannot be an irresponsible creator. I have this inside of my book, Thinking. Because if you don't know how to think, don't do it. Leave it to the professionals. That's why this is a activity. That's why you're on earth. God, this is the training ground for irresponsible creators. See, you used to be a creator, and you messed it up. So God said, okay, send that fool to prison, to a prism, so he can play with his imagination till he learn how to freaking control it instead of letting it control him. That's the only reason you're on earth. The only reason you're on earth is a playground for little G's. So that way you can become a bigger G. So God is not going to give you no big gun unless he can let you see that you can control the little gun. So he's going to tell you, yeah, I'm going to believe God for a pack of Snickers. And then you're going to go out and do something, make some money, go to the store and buy some Snickers. And then all of heaven going to be like, yes, he get it. Then, okay, you're going to believe God for a bag of groceries. So you're going to get a job, you're going to make some money, you're going to go buy some groceries. God going to be like, yes. He's getting it. He's understanding how to be a creator. He's going to be a co-creator with the creator. You're a creator, bruh. You are a creator, sis. That's the only reason you're on earth, is to learn how to create. Your destiny is to create a universe for the inhabitants of all the thought form beings that you create. Every time you have a thought, you create what is called an elemental. You create a thought form being. You are responsible for that thought form being. That's why when you get to heaven, God says you must give an account for every thought that you had. Because when you have a thought, you create something. Now you got to take care of it. Like all my kids. If I lay down with a girl and get her pregnant, guess what I got to do? I need to take care of the baby. So if you have a thought in your brain and it manifests in your life, guess what you got to do? You got to take care of it. So if you got a thought for a lot of shizness, you want to be a multi-millionaire, you want to get houses and cars, who's going to take care of all that stuff? You. So before you talk about you want to be a millionaire, think it through, because you got to take care of it. Before you can talk about, oh man, I want 5 women, brothers, sisters, you like polygamy? You might want to think it through, bro. Ask King Solomon. He didn't think it through. He had all them wives and concubines, and I ran him crazy. What am I saying? Brothers and sisters, you have to live as if your desire, your destiny, your destiny is already fulfilled, because it is. It's unfortunate that you can't see it. The only reason that you can't see it is your life is not exhilarated. You're not living your life all out. Your toes are not curled. You're not cheerful. So if you are doing anything in your life and your heart is not in it, you can't win it. So what you're doing is you have an error that is limiting the explanation. That means you can't explain what you're doing. Therefore, you cannot expand what you're doing. Therefore, you don't have no evidence to support what you're doing, and you have no joy in what you're doing. So it's a perpetual motion of a negative habit pattern. A negative habit pattern is an error. You are not living your dream. It's somebody else's dream. The only way you can have a goal unfulfilled in life is if it is not yours. It is universally impossible to look me in the eye and tell me God has called you to be a piano player and you cannot play the piano. It is universally impossible, because with the desire to do comes the power to do. The desire is D, which means to sow, sire, which means seed. If you had a desire, that means God basically ejaculated on you and he impregnated you. So God's seed is pretty potent, last I checked. So God is not going to ejaculate on you. In other words, he ain't impotent. What I'm trying to say, brother, God is not impotent. So if God impregnates you with a desire, poof, baby's coming. It's going to take some time to give birth, but I should be able to see you. You should be pregnant with purpose. Everybody listen to my voice. Are you pregnant with purpose? Or you don't know what your purpose is? Oh, man. You aborted the fetus somewhere along the road because you was pregnant. But somewhere you had a miscarriage, because you did not support, you did not create the womb, your brain. You did not create an environment to nurture the seed that God placed inside of you. You was pregnant with purpose, but you miscarried. You had a stillborn. The baby, the purpose is dead. Because the womb, unsupportive of the seed that was placed inside of your womb, which is called your head, which is called your brain, create a womb that can nurture the seed of God that's going to manifest in your life as the destiny of a man. Your destiny is God's seed. Brothers and sisters, God ain't impotent. That means something is wrong with the womb. Make sure that your womb, your brain, the internal dialogue that supports the seed, make sure that your womb is healthy. Don't pollute your womb with negative thinking. My brothers, my sisters, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. This is what they tell us. God bless you. His name is Yahushua. But we know his name is the entire word of God, according to the book of Revelation. And may the Ruach, the Pneuma, the set apart one, the consciousness, the fulfilled desire. You know, the Holy Spirit is the fulfilled desire. The Holy Spirit is proof that everything that you want is already done. It's already done, past tense. All you got to do is receive it. How do we do that? Maintain our internal dialogue. Because once you do that, then the Ruach and the Pneuma will lead you and guide you into all of the steps that you need to deliver your purpose, to give birth to purpose, brother. Give birth to purpose. You got to birth your destiny. You got to birth your dream. You got to birth your dear Kinnear. And when you birth that thing, guess what? I will see you and your destiny in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. The new thing is pyramid scheme, like the police being filling. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs. firmly avert you, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your Inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.